It's good to be back tonight. Amen. And how many of you got a nap today? Yeah, there's some of you. Amen. Yeah. I'm not normally a nap taker, but I got, when I'm at home, I got into the couch and I sat on there, and I'm pretty sure it's got ether or something on it that I sat down there, and if I get real still, I start dozing off, you know, and so I'll just doze and then wake up. And that's kind of the way it was this afternoon. And so, but anyway, we're thankful to be able to be here with you. Appreciate the testimony of our brother there and the song that we just heard. Praise the Lord for that. I just want to say that tonight, as we get into our message here, before we get into it, I appreciate all the hard work and the decorations that's been done. They're just really, really great. And as I came in this morning, I noticed that. And that's tremendous. Somebody's been working and putting a lot of time in. And appreciate that. And then I love your music. And man, I'll tell you what, you're blessed with musicians and pianists. And that was a dulcimer this morning. Isn't that right? Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was great. I love music and love that. It reminded me, though, of a church that didn't have a pianist. The pianist left, and they'd been trying to get another pianist. And so the pastor had been asking for somebody to play the piano, and finally a young lady came forward, and she said, "Pastor, I can play the piano, but I'm afraid it's not good enough to play for the service." And he said, "Sister, we don't have any, so we could use somebody playing the piano." And she said, "Well, I guess I could do it one Sunday, and then you could make the decision whether you think I could do it." And he said, "Well, let's just plan on that next Sunday morning. You play the piano." And so that Sunday morning came around. Well, it also, as she was there, he told her, you know, "We got Sister So-and-so. She's here, and she's going to help us out on the piano." But he said, before we sing and everything, "I just want you to know our building fund is kind of short right now. And we're needing to get it propped up, get some more money in our building fund. And so what I need to do is I need this morning for several of you to donate $100 apiece. And let's get this building fund going again. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask our dear sister just to play something on the piano. And if you're willing to donate $100, I'm going to ask that you just stand right there where you're at. For donating that $100 as she plays the piano." And he said, "Sister, you just play whatever you think's appropriate there, and that'll be fine." And so she played the Star Spangled Banner, and she got the permanent job as a pianist, man. And I hope you get something out of the messages today, because back in Kentucky, we have the first Friday night every month, we have a youth rally. Have several churches that come, just like y'all do in Indiana. And we was at a church in Glasgow, Kentucky, and a group came, and they happened to have a little boy with them that wasn't a teenager. But he wanted to sit right up in the front row. Now, they didn't have this big a gap like you all do between here and the front pew. And so the little boy was over here on the side, and the pew wasn't that far away. But during the song service and the Bible quiz and all the stuff that goes on, you know, before the preaching, that little kid fell over asleep in the front pew. I was sitting two pews back from him with our teenager, and he just slid over there and fell asleep. Well, the preacher's sitting on this side that's going to preach a youth rally, and he's not sure exactly when he's going to get the pulpit either. And so he gets a tic-tac out, and he pops a tic-tac in his mouth. And then just no sooner than he pops a tic-tac in his mouth, the host pastor says, "Well, brother, whatever we need to do now, we'll do it at the end. You just come on and preach to us." Well, he's just got this fresh tic-tac in his mouth. So what he did is what preachers do with breath mints or whatever. He just kind of shoved it over to the side so he could go ahead. So he's got it over here, you know, in his cheek. And he gets up, he reads his text, and he starts into his message. And he walks over here to make his point. And when he does, that tic-tac flies out of his mouth and lands on that little boy's cheek laying there asleep. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Now, that little boy, that little boy, when that Tic Tac hit his cheek, it woke him up enough that he reached up there. I saw this. He reached up there. He grabbed that Tic Tac. He looked at it. The preacher's watching him, and he said, and that little boy popped it right in his mouth. And the preacher was a fast thinker, and he said, well, if nobody else gets anything out of this message tonight, that boy's taking something home out of this message. Wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't have seen it, man. I'll tell you what. So don't worry, though. I don't have a Tic Tac in my mouth. So, as a matter of fact, I used to do that with certs and Tic Tacs, and I switched to those little, I don't know what I did with them. I just had it in my mouth somewhere. Uh-oh, who got it? Anyway, it's those breast, there they are, the breast strip. They dissolve really fast. You don't have to worry about that, so I use them. Take your Bibles. I want you to keep your Bibles handy. I'm going to give you several scriptures. You're going to find out why I got this Coke bottle up here tonight. And so I want you to turn to Luke 6 first. If you got little markers or just your fingers or papers or whatever, Luke 6. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Luke 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Matthew 16, and Matthew 25. I'll give you a little bit there. Luke 6, 2 Corinthians 8, Matthew 16, and Matthew 25. We'll begin with Luke 6. And in Luke chapter number 6 here, and in we find here in verse 38, the Bible says this, give. Notice there's when it's just, that's a thought right there, one word, give. And then as we find this, that the comma there, give. And then watch now. And it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That word as it's used in give there is actually like a command. Give, and it shall be given to you. Okay? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Notice what he says here in verse number 5. Paul writing to the church Corinth, and he's writing again about their giving. So look here what he says in verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So we're not just talking about giving of your money, we're talking about giving yourself. Okay, that's what Paul's talking to the Corinthians about. Matthew 16 is a very common verse that probably you've been in church, you know very well, Matthew 16, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? One soul. What is the value of one soul? See, that's the point he's trying to get across there, okay? Now go to Matthew 25. And in Matthew 25, we have the giving of the talents in Matthew 25. And verse number 14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Verse 16, then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. The Lord, let me just, for a sake of time, the Lord he returns, and the one that took his talents and had five talents and doubled them. Then the one that had two brought those and he gave. But in verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Let's pray. Father, bless now our time in your word. Lord, help me to bring out those things that, Lord, you've placed on our heart. And may we, each one of us, Lord, allow you to do the work in us and on us, that, Lord, you may work through us. And God, I pray now you would just have your will and way. And Lord, and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I was in my... where my books and all are kept, and I'm kind of a collector, I guess, of just odd things sometimes and memorabilia, and I probably, as I hold this bottle up, many of you in here, I can tell, you've seen these bottles. You know what this bottle is. But the younger group that is in here, they may have seen these in a flea market or somewhere, but they probably never drank out of a glass bottled Coke. The reason I pulled this out is because it was right when they were cutting out the glass bottles. And I kept this one, and I was preparing a message, and I went in there and saw this bottle, and I noticed on it some words that was at the top. One says, money back bottle. The other one says, return for deposit. You see, this glass bottle was going to be reused. And so when you bought glass bottle Cokes, you paid a deposit on the glass bottles. In other words, you put money into getting this bottle. And then when you take the bottle back, you could redeem it for that deposit. And so when I was a kid, I kept spending money all the time from picking these up, where people would set them aside and leave them behind. And I would have, my mother helped at the corner grocery store, and I would go down there and work and stack bottles and case up bottles and would go and get those bottles. And I kept spending money all the time as a small kid doing that, because this bottle had a value. Then y'all know what happened, don't you? They went to what they called no deposit, no return. The plastic bottles. The bottles made out of something other than glass, and they wasn't worth anything. You no longer had to pay a deposit. No deposit, no return. You don't bring them back. You know what that means? No deposit, no return. You know what it means? Throw them away. Throw them away. Let me stop right here and say something. Sad to say, but we kind of live this day that we're in a throwaway society. A lot of times people don't see the true value of things like they are. You say, Brother Decker, what are you talking about? Well, let's just start with life. Amen. You say, well, what do you mean? People don't see the value of life? No, that's why we've had so many babies that have been killed in our nation now for decades. And I will say, praise God for the move of trying to save little baby's life. Amen? And so we find here that our society is that way. And so as a result, as I was thinking about this, I got to thinking about these verses of Scripture that we just read. And you know what? Here we find that in Matthew 25, it's given us this picture of investing. He said the Lord went away and gave his servants. He divided up what he had with them, and he expected them to do something with it. Amen? Because the one doubled to five, the other one doubled to two, but the one went and hid it and did nothing with it. And when the Lord came back, he said, why did you not do something with the talent I gave you? Why did you not get a return on your investment? Did you know what? We use that terminology. The biblical terminology is sowing and reaping. The business terminology is investing and receiving a dividend. Yeah, investing and receiving the dividend. And so as a result, we find that's the same practice that's talking about there. And so I begin to think about that in light of these verses that we look. And you know, that's the way the Lord worked, the way the Lord's work is. You see, you have to invest to get something back. You have to put something in order to get something back. If you want to see the value, then you need to invest in it. Now watch now. That principle of sowing and reaping, it works like this. We reap what we sow. Amen? That's what the Bible says. We reap what we sow. And so we must be sowing and investing ourselves. And one of our number one goals should be investing ourselves. Did you catch that? I'm not necessarily talking about just your money. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about investing ourselves into the Lord's work and into the lives of others. Did you know what? We're fixing to start Bible school. Did you know that Bible school is a great opportunity to invest yourself in the lives of others? Those that will be working this week, they will be investing their time. They will be investing their energy into other lives. And so those who may not can work physically, but praying and giving in order that the Bible school can, it's a way of investing yourselves into that. And so we're going to reap, he says, what we sow. In order to see a return on our investment, hey, we need to be spreading the Word of God. That's it, spiritually. The more we sow, the more we reap. Amen. You got to go out there and sow if you want to reap. I used to have a garden. I was just talking to one of the brothers about that here before church. I love raising a garden. And when I went into evangelism the very first summer, we went ahead and put a garden out. But being gone all summer, it just grew up. And there was we tried to get people to get the vegetables and stuff, but we just lost it all. So we don't have a garden now. But I'll tell you what, for years we had a garden. And man, I couldn't wait to put the seed in the ground. Because you know what? I like fresh green beans. And I like corn on the cob. Amen? And I like big tomatoes, man. I mean, you know. And so as a result, I'm going to put the seed. Why? Because I want to return. I want to see something grow and produce. And so we reap what we sow and how important that is. And so we want to care about others and invest ourselves in reaching out and trying to bring others to Jesus Christ. Not only that, but as a rule, we usually reap later than we sow. Now, think about this. Usually you don't reap the fruit immediately when you sow. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Now, I got to tell you, this type of guy I am. I put the beans in the ground, cover them up, water them real good. I'd go to work that next day, come home. You know where I headed when I came home? Some of you been there and done that, haven't you? Head right to the garden. I mean, you know, what am I expecting? Those beans are not one-day sprouters. There's a gestation time that they're going to take to come up, germination. And so as a result, they can't do that. And so as a result, in that germination time, we find, but I want it to grow right away. I want to eat the green beans, amen. I want to pick the tomatoes. But it just takes a while. You just keep going. You keep working in order that you can see that. Now, there are short-term investments. You've heard of that. What is a short-term investment? When it comes to finances, a short-term investment is you invest in something that'll bring you a quick return, okay? Praise God, we have those sometimes in the Lord's work. Hallelujah. You say, what are you talking about? There's times when you go out and you talk to somebody about the Lord and you see them get saved. Amen. Short-term investments. I mean, you go out there and you give them the Word of God. I had a cousin lived in southern Indiana back when I was pastoring at Scottsville. I had a lady call me And she said, "Is this Brother Decker?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Brother Decker, my sister died in Louisville." And she said, I live in Louisville, and my sister died, and she's from Scottsville. That's where I pastored at. And she said, "Our pastor is on a mission trip, and he recommended I call you." And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "we have two funeral homes. Which funeral home is your sister at in Scottsville?" "Oh, she's not in Scottsville. She's in Louisville." I said, "Well, ma'am, that's 2.5 hours away from me. I think he thought your sister was in Scottsville, and that's why he gave you my name. I know some good preachers be willing to do it in Louisville." And she said, "Oh, no, he recommended you, and I would like to have you to come and do it." Well, I was pastoring a brand new church, and man, I got $60 a week if it was in there. And man, I'll tell you what, I thought, boy, do I have enough gas to get to Louisville or not, you know? So I told her, "I'll come." And so I went to Louisville, and this lady was 90-something years old, and she had been longing to be with the Lord for some time. She'd been in a nursing home, and her sister shared her testimony with me. And then I found out that this cousin had had a heart attack, and he was in a hospital in Louisville there, downtown Louisville. And my mother had contacted me, and she said, "While you're there, you might go by and see him." And I said, "Okay." And so when the funeral was over, the little lady stuck something in my pocket, bless her heart, and I knew it was enough for my gas, took care of my gas. And so anyway, I went to the hospital. I walked down the hallway and got to my cousin's room. And when I got to my cousin's room, he looked at me, and he said, "Joe?" And I said, "Yes, Larry." And he said, "Joe, is that really you? Are you standing there?" And I said, "Yes, it's me." And he said, "This is really something." He said, "I was just laying here in my bed, and I was just saying, I sure wish I could talk to Joe. I sure need to get some things taken care of." He said, "Joe, you're here because I need to be saved." Amen. And he got saved. Amen. That's a quick return on your investment. Amen. Amen. Praise God for it. Amen. And I tell you what, I got home that night after I drove back home. I got home that night and I called that dear little lady. And I called her and I said, "Ma'am, your sister kept asking and kept the question she asked you is, why is God leaving me here? I'm ready to go home and I want to go home. And why is God leaving me here?" And I said, "I got the answer for your sister's question." And she said, "You do?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "Preaching your sister's funeral got me to Louisville, in which I went to the hospital and I led a cousin to Christ, and he got saved because of your sister's funeral." And she said, "Well, glory to God." And then the phone went, boom, boom, boom. And she picked it up and she said, "I'm sorry, I dropped it, but you know what? I think my sister knows that now." That's one of those fast returns. We went out, we had a man in our church. His brother got saved. Brothers married sisters. His brother got saved. And the brother's wife got saved, and his wife got saved, but he wasn't interested in getting saved. And we would go, and they would come to the altar and pray for him regularly, just come and pray for him, weep for him. We'd go out, and we'd talk to Paul, and we'd knock on the door, and Paul would come sometimes to the door with a beer can in his hand. He'd say, "Look, my wife wants to go to church, my brother and his wife wants to go to church. That's fine. It's not for me. Not for me." And we'd try our best to witness and talk to him, let him know we was praying for him. And finally, we kind of backed off for a while. And so there was a young man, it was his first visitation time to come. And had one of our older men, and so we paired him up with him because he had first time. And that night after we had prayer, the older guy said, "You know what, I'm going by Paul's house." And we said, "Well, you know, Paul, he gets upset and everything." And we've kind of, he said, "No. Before I came, I prayed about it. God wants me to go to Paul's house." And we said, "Okay." So he's got this young man going along, and he goes to Paul's house, and they knock on the door. And Paul comes to the door. He don't have a beer can in his hand. He comes to the door, and he says this, "I was expecting y'all tonight." He said, "Just come on in. Let's get this thing taken care of." And they went in, knelt down on his couch, and he prayed and asked the Lord to come to his heart and save him. When we'd get back, sometimes we'd give a testimony. I'll never forget it. This young man sitting there, and he gives his hand up real quick. He said, all I've heard is how hard it is and how difficult it is to witness to people. He said, tonight there was nothing to it. We knocked on a man's door, and he said, come in, I want to get saved. Be great if that happened like that all the time, wouldn't it? But that's one of those quick investments on the return of just going and telling other people about Jesus, investing ourselves in the Lord's work with our time, our talents, whatever we can do. And then there's long-term investments. You say, what's that? Well, there's times when you sow the seed, but you don't see the fruit real quick. But that doesn't mean you won't see it. Every one of us in here knows of somebody that's prayed for a loved one for 25, 30 years. We've heard those testimonies. Hallelujah. Don't give up praying. But I'll tell you what, I live in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And Bowling Green, Kentucky now has become a melting pot. Basically, the world has come to our city. In Bowling Green, Kentucky, we have probably 9,000 Muslims that have moved into Bowling Green, Kentucky, 4 mosques. The estimate is about 2,000 Burmese that have come in. And we've got those from Southeast Asia, quite a few of those. And we just have people from all over the world. Well, the Burmese, when they got there, started moving into Bowling Green, we started picking some of them up on our bus route. I mean, you know, they was wanting to come. We had Bible school, and we run buses in Bible school. And one night, one of the bus came back. It only had just a few kids. And they said, Brother Decker, we're going to remedy that. We're going out all day tomorrow, and we're going to get kids on that bus. Well, they went over to where all the Burmese people had moved into that apartment complex, and they came in that night, I think it was with 45 kids on that bus. And they came in and said, hey, we got 40-something kids on the bus. The only problem is they speak Burmese. And I said, what am I supposed to do? I don't speak Burmese. But the kids know English, see. Parents don't, but the kids do. They pick it up real fast. So that week went on. Thursday night at Bible school. A little Burmese girl stepped out. She come forward there and I said, what you come for, honey? She said, my name Lu Chin. And she said, Lu Chin need Jesus in here. And I got one of our ladies and I said, now listen, be very careful. I believe in being careful with children, dealing with them. I said, be careful with her. Make sure she understands. And she took her aside and dealt with her. And Lu Chin, when the lady dealing with her came to the place of praying and asking Jesus, she looked at her and she said, can Lu Chin pray in my language? And she said, yes, honey, God understands all languages. And she prayed in her language, and then the lady that was dealing with her prayed with her, and she said, Lu Chin asked Jesus to come into my house. And she said, house. She didn't say heart. I said, heart. I said, that's okay. Lord knows, house, heart, it's okay. Amen. Well, Lu Chin started coming faithfully. That was in June. I went back out on the road doing other Bible schools and everything. Came back, and I guess it was about in the fall, and they were having a program for for our senior saints, and those kids were in there quoting scriptures. There stood Lu Chin quoting the books of the Bible and telling about the disciples. So I'm teaching the auditorium class. I'm home, and I'm teaching the auditorium class, and I look back to my left, and there's an adult man sitting back over here. And there he is, and he's got his Bible. And so when Sunday school was over, I went back, and I said to him, I said, sir, I said, good to have you today. But I said, it looks like you might be Burmese. And he said, I am. And I said, well, it's great to have you. I said, you wouldn't by any chance be related to Lu Chin. Oh, he said, Lu Chin, my daughter. He said, we're so excited. Lu Chin, get Jesus. He said, now I got little boy who need Jesus. And I said, sir, can I ask you a question? Do you know Jesus? Are you saved? And he said, oh, I've been saved. Yes, I've been saved. And I said, did you get saved here or did you get saved in Burma? He said, oh, I was saved in Burma, missionary. And I said, missionary? Oh, he said, yes, because of missionary long time ago. Well, I happened to be reading at that time about Adoniram Judson. And I said to him, oh, I said, there was a missionary years ago by the name of Adoniram Judson. He lit up. He said, Judson, he's the missionary that brought Jesus to my people. He's the one that told us about Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, I about came unglued sitting there. Because I'm going to tell you something. That's over 200 years ago. And you know what? The work that he did in Burma, he went there and he buried a wife and children, and he 6 years without one convert, and he was there. And here it is 200 years later, and he's still reaping from his investment even though he's gone home. Amen. Hey, the Lord's work is the only place or the only thing on this earth that you can invest in and still reap dividends after you've left. Amen. Stop and think about that. Whew, man. I mean, from his work, here is a family that, and turned out our grandfather was a Baptist preacher. Amen. And so we were excited to see that. We went to camp this past week, and we went to a junior camp, and we took from our church again, they took several Burmese children. And we saw four of those Burmese children get saved. Amen. In another Bible school, we had two Iraqi children come. Parents were Muslim, but they let them come to Bible school. Hadi was about 11 years old. Thursday, Hadi came up to me as we were closing out, and he said, now, help me understand. He said, you're telling me that in order to go to heaven, I have to have Jesus. And I said, yes, Hadi. But it's not just Brother Decker telling you that. I said, that's what this book, the Bible says. And I said, I know you've been taught a different book. I know you've been taught something different. But Hadi, remember, Jesus is the only one that resurrected from the grave. And I said, he's God, and he's the one that says that. And he stood there and he said, you have given me much to think about. Much to think about. Well, that was the first week of June. Second week of July, it was time for junior camp. I came home because I preached at that junior camp. And when I came home, I was told Hadi and his sister Abba, their parents had agreed to let them go to camp. And some of our people had paid their way to go to camp. And on Tuesday night, Hadi came forward. And one of our men went with him, and he repeated, now you're telling me that the only way I can go to heaven is through Jesus. And that man prayed with him and talked with him. I was preaching Thursday afternoon, and when I got done, Hadi, with tears streaming down his face, came and fell at the altar, and he asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him. Later on that week, his sister Abba came and did the same thing. They went home. And, of course, you probably can jump ahead of me and know what's going to happen. Their imam, however you say it, at the mosque, told their parents they did not need to come back. They can't change the fact that they got saved. Amen. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. Our people invested themselves in those. I was out on the road and I came home. And I got word that Hadi had one of his friends at his house, and they were playing around with a gun, and accidentally it went off and Hadi was killed. Of course, they had all the Muslim funeral and everything, whatever they do. But you know what? Right before that happened, I was in Walmart parking lot. Somebody beating on a car window. And my middle daughter was with me and said, Dad, I think that's Hadi in the back of that car. And I'm going up to Walmart and some hands come around me. He's now a teenager. Grabs me. And it was Hadi. And Hadi said to me, I can't come to your church, But I want you to know, I have not forgotten what happened in here.
Amen. Amen.
What a blessing that was to this preacher when I heard what happened. Because regardless of what they did, they could not change the fact that he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Amen. You never know. You never know. Just investing yourselves into somebody else, whether it be a child or whether it be an adult, I'm so thankful. Hey, just think about this matter of reaping. I got to thinking about it, and after I was working on this message and everything, and then I realized something, that there was a man that pastored our church by the name of J.T. McCracken. And J.T. McCracken's wife led a little girl in Bible school to the name, that her name was Melinda Applin. And Melinda Applin married one of the young men of that church named of Marvin Carson. And Marvin Carson came back to Bowling Green after Brother McCracken had left, and he pastored Grace Baptist Church in Bowling Green. And his wife taught Sunday school and led a little boy to the Lord by the name of Jason Gaddis. And that little boy went off, God called him, he went off to Bible college, and God called him then to pastor Southwest Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, where some of the McCrackens had moved to, and they were members of that church in Oklahoma City. Now, I don't know if you can keep up with this or not, but here's the thing. All those years, Miss McCracken back here led a little girl to the Lord, not knowing that eventually through her, her family's pastor would be led to the Lord and become their pastor one day. I don't know about you, but that kind of rattles me. Because I'm going to tell you something. We invest ourselves into others. We don't know how God's going to use it. We don't know what returns are going to come back. But can you imagine? Hey, listen, you just think about those lives that have been reached by a lady back over here dealing with a little girl. That little girl marries a preacher, and many souls have been saved. And then she leads a little boy to the Lord, and he goes and he's working and he's for the Lord and leading people to the Lord, which goes back to that initial investment. Did you know somebody invested in you tonight?
Amen.
You're in here and you're saved. Somebody invested in you. Hey, what? Here's the question I have. Oh, by the way, let me just stop before I go on. I get ahead of myself. You'll give me just a few more minutes. Aren't you glad you also reap more than you sow?
Amen.
I'm sure glad when I put a green bean in the ground, I don't just get back one green bean. Be awful hungry. No, you get a vine that has green beans and green beans and green beans. Put a little kernel of corn in the ground, you don't get a kernel back. Usually you'll get two or three ears of corn on one plant. You get more than you sow. You go out, you plant, and usually you get back more than you sow. It's a return on the investment. You just got to use it. You've got to put it into use. You can't hide it. You got to use it. Did you know what? Whatever God's given every one of us in here tonight, He did not give it to us to set on it. He didn't give it to us to hide it. He gave it to us to use it. We see that illustration right here. If you know what you're supposed to do, he said, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you get a return on my investment? I don't know about you, but I want to be a return on those that invested in my life. My pastor was a man by the name of Horace Nutt in Louisville, Kentucky. One of the last things he said to me was, Joe, keep preaching.
Amen.
Keep preaching, son. Don't quit.
Amen.
He had Alzheimer's. And before he passed away, that was the last words he said to me. And you know what? My desire is, I want to be in a good investment. He put himself into my life. He was a personal tutor to me in many ways, spiritually. A spiritual father. You see, we've all got somebody that's invested into our life. I was in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'd made reference to this. And a preacher there came up to me. And he said, Brother Decker, his name's Jim Strange. He came to me. And he said, Brother Decker, I got to tell you my family story. And I said, what's that? He said, there was a huge family. I don't remember. I think 8 kids, 9 kids at least. And he said, our youngest sister, there was a little girl that lived next door, was the same age as our youngest sister. And said, that little girl came over and asked my sister to go to church with her. Said, we weren't church-going people. We weren't saved. My dad was definitely, he said, no way he was interested in church. But this, she came over and got my little sister. And my little sister started going to church with our neighbor. And they would take her. And she got a burden for her brothers and sisters. And she started asking them to come to church with her. And the neighbors had to go out and buy a bigger car because they got all those kids to come in with and their mama. They all started coming to church. Brother Strange says, Brother Decker, I'm going to tell you something. Through one little girl, our whole family ended up getting saved and getting in church. And said, but that's not the end of it. Said, that lady now is a grown lady. And said, that lady called the other day and still keeps in touch with my sister. And they figured it up. And because she, as a little girl, was concerned about a neighbor girl, there has been 80 in my family that have been saved. Amen. And 4 independent fundamental Baptist preachers out of them. Because of one little primary girl. I was up there preaching, and they told me that that lady had passed away that had done that. And Jim says, but can you imagine the rewards that she'll have? Still hasn't seen the end of it because they're still preaching and they're still sharing the Word of God. Somebody. But I can't end the message without saying this to you tonight. More than any individual on earth that's invested in you, there's one that invested more than any of them.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
He gave his all on the cross of Calvary. He came and invested his life in order that you and I could be saved. And one of the greatest desires you and I need or should have right now is to bring a return for our Savior's investment in our life. What kind of return are we going to be able to stand before Him one day, and not for our honor and not for our glory, but to give back to Him because He alone is worthy for what He did for us? Aren't you glad He was willing to invest Himself on the cross of Calvary? Invest and return. Sow and reap. No deposit. No return. Sad words to me. No deposit. You put nothing in, you get nothing back. Invest and reap. Get the return. More you put in, more you get back. More sound, more seed is planted, more fruit comes back. Invest. No deposit. No return. May God help us. Give shall be given to you. And I'm not just talking about your finances. Please understand, I'm talking about us. Here's what we need today. We need to invest ourselves in the next generation. Why? Because there's a need. Can I tell you, I stand here before you and tell you there's a need. There's a need. We've got to see those that's come along behind us keep on preaching the Word of God. Teaching the Word of God and standing for Jesus. Who is it that you're investing yourself in? Who is it that God has impressed upon your heart to invest so that one day you'll see that return? What a blessing it is when the returns start coming in. Whew. Man, how exciting it is when they start coming in. Let's bow our heads. I thank you for your attention. I went a little longer than I intended to. But tonight, I pray God has used it in your heart. No deposit, no return. No deposit, no return. If you make an investment, you will reap dividends. Especially when it comes to God's work, that's what we're talking about. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Invest, reap. Invest, reap. Let's stand with our heads bowed and we're going to pray. Maybe you'd want to come tonight. Maybe you'd want to come and just kneel here and talk to the Lord and thank him for his investment. Ask him to help you to be better investing. Father, you know the hearts, you know the needs. Lord, I pray for this invitation and I pray for just folks to listen to you and do what you're speaking to their heart about. Thank you for the investment that you made that I could be saved. Lord, I desire, Lord, to be a good return. May each one of us have that desire tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.